I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn back to the book of wisdom, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 17 is where I'd like to draw your attention this morning. I think over the years, when it comes this time of the year, I've always taken delight at students and teachers alike to remind them of what they already know, and that is the school bell is just about to ring. And in doing that, I kind of ask them, are you ready? And for some of those kids that it comes time, I've kind of looked at them in a way in which I've challenged to see if I could see where they've been crying because summer is over and it's time to go back to school. And there are times in which they cooperate and confess, yeah, I'm crying. I don't want to go back. But you know, every so often one will look up and smile and just say, I'm ready. And it's that one that I always kind of hang on to. And I think all of us would recognize there's something special about Jasper. Jasper told me he was ready. And it made me think about why he was ready. And it challenged me to kind of think back a little bit about days of school and what it means to be separated from your friends, and you're looking forward, if nothing else, is to see your friends again every day. And so it just made me begin thinking about the value of friendship and what a treasure it is to have true friends, and how that they do hold us up in a way in which they tend to shape our lives, and surprisingly, for all of us, even as believers, there are times we just need to kind of go back to school and remember some of the lessons that we've learned. And I want to challenge us about friendship, about those individuals that from long ago, they became our friend. And perhaps what separated them from others is, well, it's the way they treated us, the way they looked at us, how that we really didn't let it be known that we needed encouragement, but they gave encouragement. We didn't really let it be known that we were feeling lonely, but they chose us to be a friend. And even long ago, when we think about it, it really wasn't lessons we learned from the Bible, but there were certain friends that wept with us when we wept and rejoiced with us when we rejoiced, and they challenged us in a way to do good, and when we were with them, it seemed like it was easier to do good. And in that, we learned a great deal of lessons to where we allowed our friends to shape us. And those special friends that we let get close, it may be that we still give them credit for help shaping us in a good way. When you think about friendship, I found these quotes here that might relate to us and encourage us. To where one said, some people make enemies instead of friends because it's a lot less trouble. Be slow in choosing a friend and slower in changing friend. Benjamin Franklin. An old friend is better than two new ones. George Washington said, associate yourself with men of good quality if you esteem your own reputation. For it is better to be alone than in bad company. When we lose a friend, we die a little. If you really want to know who your friends are, just make a mistake. And I think all of us would recognize that we have no desire to go home and call somebody that we know and let them know that John sung all of those verses differently. It's not what a friend does. In all of our aspect, it's not just that friends help shape us, but there also were friends that we let get close, and they also showed us a lot about how to be careful about picking your friends. We learned a lot about the sins of the tongue before we really read the scripture, because we saw how other people did repeat and share our mistakes and whisper about us and gossip about us. And we had to learn how to deal with that. We learned how that through friends you have misunderstandings, and friends, you have jealousy, and we discovered anger, but the more we got involved, the more we discovered that bitterness was really the problem. And there were many times in when we needed a friend. But yet in what we got instead was someone that meddled into our affairs and created our world to where it was upside down. It is the wise man that reminds us of some simple attributes about friendship, to where not only do we look back at the friends that we have, but also challenge ourselves to what it means to have, well, what it means to have me as a friend. And are these qualities still that which I linger to when I think about the friendships that I have in chapter 17, verse 17? I find two characteristics there to remind us about friendship, where he says, a friend loves at all times. Think about that. That there were friends that really taught us different aspects about compassion. And what made it special is that they loved us despite circumstances. I don't want to meddle in your years, but some of you have gone back to class reunions. You know how they do 10, 20, 30, 40. I'm not going to get into the age, but you've gone back and you're reminded that you still have friends from back then. Although you don't see each other on a regular basis. Although you may not have even talked to each other since the last class reunion. That no matter the time and no matter the space in the communities that you live and the difference that is there, you still count them as a friend who loves you, who shows compassion to you, shows kindness to you, that you're merciful and you receive mercy from them. Jesus in John 15, 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus setting the pretense to let his disciples know that they're going to say love that doesn't even compare. No matter how many songs we sing about God's love this morning, it still doesn't compare with what Jesus did for all of us in laying down his life. But it's that sacrificial effort. It's that sacrifice that he made. And that's what sets a friend up despite circumstances, is they make sacrifices for each other. And when the need is there and they're aware of the need, they find a way to reach back no matter how far away, no matter how difficult it may be. They make an effort to reach out. If you look at the same passage, it's a reminder of us that we too are challenged as believers in our friendship to follow the example of Jesus and recognizing that our friendship is the greatest opportunity for us to demonstrate love. And Jesus did that in the way in which he served. We sing the song, "No, not one. There is no lowly friend like Jesus." And that whole word lowly reminds us that he came as a servant. He came giving. And that's a great attribute that we should hold on to as we think about our circle of friends and the opportunities that we have to sacrifice for them. But in that same verse, verse 17, he says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I think we would all recognize that there's no greater need for a friend than when disappointment comes. That for sure, there are individuals that are ready to be your friend when they think you're popular. When they think they can get something back in return. Now, I don't want to meddle in your social media life, but you know, we now have social media that is all about getting friends. 24/7, you can go out and pursue friends. An individual called it Fakebook. You had fake friends that were there and you have fake friends today. And yet with all the instant gratification of friendships, we still, as a people, are incredibly lonely and isolated and still struggling in many ways. And what a true friend will do is stand with you when the days are darker. And it's not an issue of popularity. It's an issue of the fact that you're hurting. It's an issue, in fact, you have a need. It's for where they are ready to be there. Now, it's not in Proverbs, but still it's a writing of Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, where he reminds us two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Now, doesn't that seem very elementary? But the truth of it is that it's reinforcing the strength of companionship. It's reinforcing the bond of friendship. Many times we use this in relationship to marriage. And even if you were talking about a husband and wife, there's no greater example of friendship there. I know we use the word love, but never, ever should a husband and wife ever lose the bond of friendship, to where they're there for each other and the strength that comes from that togetherness. That's one of the aspects of friendship. Now, flip over to chapter 18. In chapter 18, there's another passage that he gives that talks about true friendship is revealed among those that are friendly. And I take that from this passage where it says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The old story goes, in the pioneer days of the Old West, a wagon pulled up at a settler's cabin. And the traveler said he was looking for a place to put down his roots. And he asked the settler what kind of neighbors he had. In turn, the settler looked at the traveler and asked what kind he had back east. The traveler said they were cranky, unfriendly, and cantankerous. The settler told the traveler he'd find the same kind there. So the man drove on. Next day, another wagon pulled up to the same cabin. That traveler also was looking for a place to homestead. He too asked about neighbors. And the settler asked him the same question. What kind of neighbors did you have back east? The traveler said his former neighbors were the nicest, friendliest, and most cooperative neighbors in all the world. The settler told him he would find the same kind of neighbors too. So the traveler decided to stay. The difference is not in the neighbors, is it? The difference is in the man and the outlook himself. And the same thing is true of friends. That if we're worried about not having friends, then it could very well be that we're not very friendly. That we have not learned the characteristics of Jesus and how he was a friend to all. Proverbs 27 verse 6 points out something very careful for us, where he says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Then in verse 9, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. Now, what he reminds us there is even though the friendly tends to have friends, it doesn't mean that they don't face positive all the time. They are such a friend to where they give us loving rebuke. And they challenge us just like days of old. Not just to make good grades anymore. Not just to play the best ball we can play. But to be the best husband. To hang in there as a mother. And there are times that lovingly they share with us their experiences or the experience of others or the counsel that they've received that was helpful. And they're willing to say what we need to hear. And they do that because they're a true friend. And they've always been there for us to remind us that we're all on this journey together. And that we are an imperfect people. And yet at the same time, we're all loved by the same loving God. And you know, when we're thinking about our friendships and the treasures that we have, you can't really separate that from understanding what it means to have friendship with Jesus Christ. I want to go back to John 15 and look at what Jesus said to his disciples in the context of when he made this statement about no greater love, as he's going to demonstrate it for us. Because what he says is something that's very powerful for us to recognize the blessing that it is in our relationship with him. It begins in verse 14 that I want to look at. And that's when he talks and says this to his disciples, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. In the world today, there are a lot of individuals that remind us that Jesus loves us as we are. And that is true. God's love is demonstrated in sending Jesus Christ. And Jesus, as He walked on the face of the earth in His ministry, had the reputation of being close to sinners. And He did that because He loved them. But what we tend to forget is Jesus offers much more than just His love. He offers His friendship that is based on obedience, an obedient faith. That where we are is not where He wants us to stay. Where He wants us to go is to follow Him. And so He offers His friendship. Now, the friendship that He's talking about here is like the friendship of a king. That he had friends in his court. But those in his court were invited to be close. And in this closeness, they still rendered obedience. And they joined together in a common cause. And as friends, you were given access to the king. What a blessing it is to have Jesus as a friend. Jesus makes a remarkable statement that Mark records. When his family came, and it seemed like others understanding that family don't always stay together, and perhaps they were looking to spend time with Jesus, let him know that his family was there while he was teaching. Mark recorded this in chapter 3, verse 34, that Jesus looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, and my mother." Isn't that remarkable? That we as an individuals, and let's be honest, when it comes to us giving friendship back to Jesus, we struggle just like, well, the 12 struggled that He's talking to here, saying, "You're my friends if you do what I command." Because Judas obviously is a problem. Peter, James, and John are going to let Him down in His closest need as He goes into Gethsemane. It's going to be disappointing. And we're disappointing at times to Him. But our obedient faith, our life of commitment of following Him and accepting His friendship, He allows us this place in His circle like others, where we can be that close to Him. But He talks about the privilege of friendship. Verse 15. "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you." You see, that's part of being in that circle. Even though our friendship back to Him may have a degree of unfaithfulness. Even though our friendship back to Him may be disappointing at times. He said, "I have shared with you what I have received from my Father." And what we have received from Him is the purpose of Jesus coming. The purpose of Jesus living. The purpose of Jesus dying. Is the fact that this friendship that He offers goes much more than just access to His court. It's a faith that directs us to where we talk about Him and we share with Him and we tell others why He lived and why He died and how it is that He is God's example of love and what that love means. Not only gives us an abundant life while we live here on earth, but it's the hope of eternal life. Not facing God's condemnation. To where the gospel has been shared now, to where we know what God's plan is. We know what His purpose is. We know that from the beginning, Jesus would give His life. Jesus would be God's display of the ultimate love of redeeming His creation because we're sinners. And there's nothing that we could do about it. And so Jesus will be that perfect Lamb. Paul, writing to the Romans, chapter 25, as he's bringing this epistle to a close, he says, "Now to Him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God. Look at that last phrase. For obedience to the faith. He's made it known in His Word. He's made it known through the teaching of Jesus. He's made it known through the teaching of the disciples in the written Word. He's made it known of what God's purpose and plan is. And that is salvation through Jesus Christ, which He gave to us for our obedience in the faith. And that's the privilege of His friendship, is that the Father has made known this mystery. The Father has made known His plan. The Father has made known how we become right with Him. There's a lot of people have a lot of ideas about it, but the Father has revealed it. And so we can know through the gospel. We can know through the written Word. We can know how to not only be friends with Him, but how to spend eternity in that circle forever. But He also adds this in verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give you. This friendship with Jesus has a purpose. And that purpose is that as friends, we bear fruit. And that fruit is such to where we are put in a position to where we can get as close to our friend as we choose. Do you understand that? That being in this circle, being a friend with Jesus, we can get as close to God as we choose. We can get as involved in the Word. We can get as involved in prayer as we choose. And we can bear fruit as we choose. Well, if we're a friend with Jesus, there's that expectation of bearing fruit. He lived a life of bearing fruit. As His friend, we bear fruit. He died that He might bear fruit. And so we share that message of His life and His death, and we invite others to come to the salvation that is in His blood, to the salvation of sin, and to be part of the family of God. We carry that message. We talk about the love of God. And it was demonstrated in the life of Jesus.
It's this chapter beginning talking about fruit. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. Look at that. Not only is bearing fruit an example that we have friendship with Jesus, but it's also the badge showing that we are disciples of Jesus. That we are carrying out His message. Paul talks about that in Colossians chapter 1. If you begin in verse 9, this is what you'd find. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You can choose to have all the knowledge you want. It's your choice. But to have friendship with Jesus will bear fruit. To have friendship with Jesus will build our knowledge. To have friendship with Jesus will want to walk in a way in which is pleasing to Him. Just as we learned in every relationship with every friend that we've had. And sometimes we let friendships complicate things. Because we expect to receive instead of giving. And you see, that impacts friendships. And that's why we have to be reminded that for us as individuals, He shared His life, He shared His love, He shared His salvation so that we might be able to give it to others and carry that same message out. Verse 17, these things I command you that you love one another. Chances are, if you wore a shirt back at school that said something like Alabama Crimson Tide, there were some that came up and wanted to be your friend. And it worked the other way too. If you had something blue and orange, it drew attention to where somebody else came that likes blue and orange and says, I want to be your friend. And so it didn't take long that you kind of used that throughout all your life. That other people would come to you based on what they saw you wear. The badge of being a friend with Jesus Christ, the garment, is love. I command you, love one another. Now that's the whole setting of where he began all of this. Back up to verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That's the pathway of friendship. Now, and you talk about loving one another. He's talking about everybody that's friends with Jesus. He's talking about us as brothers and sisters in Christ. And what a powerful friendship that is when you have unity. And you love each other, and you have this sense of awesomeness toward God, and recognize and remind each other what He has done for us. And we come together and we worship together. We come together and we serve together. We come together and we share together. And we're an individual and a body that pray together, and we recognize we have imperfections, and we cover for each other. We don't tell everything we know about each other. But if it is sin, we look to restore each other because we want to be right with God. And that's the powerful badge of loving one another. Paul, writing to the church of Christ in Thessalonica, chapter 4, verse 9, first epistle said, Brethren, concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all of Macedonia. And what he's saying, you got that checked. But look what he says next. But we urge you, brethren, cut it up some notches. Give it more. Increase more. And increase more. That you never reach a level to where you can say, did it, done it. Because love will always be tested. Because love will always be what others are looking for if you claim to be a friend with Jesus. If you're saying you're a disciple, if you're saying that you know Him, then you ought to be characterized by love. So, you've loved those that are lovable. That's good. But never forget that Jesus died for friends and enemies. And you don't love the world because you'll make yourself an enemy of God, but you love the enemy just like you love a friend. So I'm going to tell you, increase it more and more because that's what Jesus did. He died for those that loved Him. He died for the unlovable. And that's what separates us in being part of His court, in being friends of the King. We should be thankful for friendship that increases our faith. And we should be thoughtful and prayerful toward friends that have been part of our lives and continue to be part of our lives that have shaped our faith and encouraged us to stay on the path of righteousness and continue in obedient faith to the one that gave His life for us. John said in 1 John 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all our sin. Jesus Christ invites friendship in His blood. He promises to cleanse us of our sin through obedient faith. Not staying where we are, but recognizing to follow Him, we need to put off our sin. And we need to pursue our life in His image. We need to walk in His steps. And we need to learn more about His love by getting closer and increasing our knowledge and our experiences with Him. But see, it's not just friendship, it's this fellowship. It's this uniqueness that brings us together in Jesus Christ. It's being free of our sins.
It's being free of the penalty of sin. Because you see, in Jesus Christ, He takes away our fear. Our fear of being separated from God. Our fear of being lost eternally. Every day as we wake up, it's another day when we think about Jesus cleansing us and us staying away from sin, that it gives us a fresh start to every new morning. It is the source of our hope, and the purpose of our living is that when He comes again, having that divine nature, holding on to those divine promises, we have an incredible future. And it's all because He chose us. By His grace and His mercy, He invited us through friendship. He invited us to become adopted children. And He brought us into His family. And so He invites us to look at His life, look at His death, and look at His invitation. Come unto Me, and you'll find rest. And what a wonderful friend it is in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. When Joseph Scriven wrote that song, he never intended for it to be a song. He wrote it as a poem for his mother because she needed encouragement. And there are times in our lives to where people see our lives and they think everything's together. And they think that we're the envy of other parents, of other marriages, of other believers in Christ. But they don't have a clue what sin has done to us on the inside. They don't have a clue how lonely we feel and how far we feel from God. And so when he wrote that for his mother, he wanted to encourage us in that there is no friend like Jesus. No loyalty, no faithfulness that can ever compare, and that Jesus cares for us. What a friend we have in Jesus. Does that give you faith? Does that give you hope? If you're in sin, come to Him. Turn to Him and walk with Him and let Him be your friend and give you the strength and hope of a new day. Won't you repent of your sins? Come while together we stand and sing with Jonathan.